Father, we just thank you for this time again in your presence. Thank you, because you are the one that has given us the privilege to gather. Because unto you shall the gathering of people be. Thank you for your blood that cleanses us. Thank you for your word that strengthens us. Thank you for your spirit that empowers us, that encourages us, that guides us, that gives us revelation and understanding. Thank you again, because we are not here by our own power, Lord God, nor unto ourselves, but we gather unto you. We look to you for fresh mercy, from whence comes our help. Our help comes from you, maker of heaven and earth, that as we go into your word, Lord God, will not go presumptuously, but rather you will open the eyes of understanding. You will guide us into all truth. You will lead us in the way we should go. You will speak to our hearts, O Lord God. Your word will drop, O Lord God, Father, like dews from heaven, O Lord God, refreshing us, O Lord God. It will, O Lord God, Father, flow out of me like rivers of living water. Father, I continue to duck under the covenant of the fathers, recognizing that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to whom you show mercy. It's not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take complete control of everything that I say, O Lord God, Father, and those that will be receiving, they will receive it in meekness and lowliness of heart. Oh Lord God, it will be that engrafted word in their souls in the name of Jesus that will strengthen them, that will sanctify, that will encourage, that will empower, oh Lord God, them in the way of holiness, of righteousness, sanctification, of becoming more like Jesus. Thank you again, because your word will cut deep into our hearts to bring conviction, revelation, it will break yokes, it will bring deliverance, it will bring supply of needs, O Lord God, Father, it will bring healing, O Lord God, and above all, it will bring resurrection life, Lord God, that will help us, O Lord God, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the truth, O Lord God, even as you are in the light, to walk in the light, as we may call into the light, even in this, at this time, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask again for fresh wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the true God, that the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light. We will know better the hope of your calling upon our lives, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, and the exceeding greatness of your power that you have wrought in Christ Jesus when you risen from the dead. That we will know who we are in Christ Jesus, and not just know, Lord God, in our hearts and in our minds, but we will know by revelation understanding, and we will have power to do what you reveal to us and tell us to do in Jesus' name. We continue to come against every spirit of infirmity, distraction, Lord God, every spirit, Lord God, of worry and anxiety, every foul spirit in the air seeking to hinder the free flow, Lord God, Father, and delivery of the word and receiving of the word and practice of this word by whatever we are called. We destroy your works, we resist, we bind, we cast you out. We break your hold and influence over the entire atmosphere and our own lives and hearts. And all the listeners, Lord God, now and later, we loose the angels to minister for each and every one of us God's perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so there's something I believe God has dropped in my heart as I prayed and taught him about what we should talk about and what he has for us. And I'm just going to go straight into it. You know, I just want you to listen with all of your hearts and see how the Lord helps us, you know, towards the end. And so it's titled Wisdom and Knowledge, the Stability of Our Times. Say wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, the stability of our times. Let's go to Isaiah 33:6, and then from there we'll see how the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us. Isaiah 33:6. The emphasis I believe God wants us to, you know, have and be aware of is, of course, wisdom, knowledge, stability, and times. And of course, you know and agree with me that we are in perilous times. We are in the end time. You know, so we'll allow the Bible to explain itself. You know, the Bible says scripture interpreting scripture. So without wasting much time, times, we know we are in the end time. We're in the last days. You know, seeing and hearing the things that are happening, you know, around the globe, even locally, in our own nation, and also in the nations of the earth, you know that in the end time. If you don't believe you're in the end time, just believe that you are blinded. And the devil is trying to hinder you from knowing what the time is. The Bible says we ought to know the times and seasons so that we'll know what we ought to do. You know, but there is, in the midst of all the darkness, there is a solution and there is a light. And there is light. And there's something God wants us to take advantage of and take hold of so that as the world is shaking, because the opposite of stability is instability. Are we together? E-commerce is shaking, economy is shaking, price of petrol and diesel is shaking, price of transportation is shaking, price of foodstuffs are shaking, for school fees are shaking, all kinds of things, everything is shaking. You understand? And you would agree with me that you need to know and hold on to things. And the reason why people are looking for, and the truth is, with this shaking, people are going to start looking for solution, helter skelter. You know, you're going to see people moving north, south, east, west, looking for solution. The nations are looking for solutions. The presidents are looking for solutions. The governors are looking for solutions. You know, and so the whole world is looking. The Bible says it in another way, that the entire creation is groaning and traveling in birth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation is groaning, is under a burden, because you see, sin has come so much upon the world that we need a solution. Are we together? And so God is telling us, and you see, that the solution lies in the word of God. And you, that I'm talking to, you, that in the midst of the problem, you are the very solution providers. Are we together? Are we together? So it's important. And you see, what God is trying to see is, in the midst of this darkness, you have to arise and shine. You cannot be doing the same, you cannot be giving the same complaints. I'm not saying that those things are not there. I'm not saying that the facts are not staring us in the eyes, but there is a truth that is greater than that. Are we together? And so the Bible says it another way. It says that if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall we find the solution? If I can put it another way, wherein shall we find the salt to salt the earth? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Irrespective of what you see, irrespective of how you feel, you must not bow your head the same way the world is bowing their head. You must lift up your head like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say there is a God in Israel. You must not be like the other prophets and the Israelites during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. But there is another prophet in town called Elijah, and he said that there is a God of Israel. Let the God that answereth by fire answer. And you have to choose this day. You are not the people. You are supposed to be the Elijah. Are you together? Are we together? And so the Bible is telling us our wisdom and knowledge. Money is not going to be the stability of the times. Yes, we will need money. The Bible says money answers to all things in the physical. But wisdom and knowledge. And the reason why God is encouraging us as young people is that the earlier we start to pursue wisdom and seek it and love it every day, especially as we are going into a new month, God wants your taste buds to change. So that even when people are asking for money, when people are asking for the lives of their enemy, maybe it's my enemy that is causing my problem. Maybe it's lack of money that is causing my problem. Maybe it's wanting to live long that is causing my problem. Maybe it's fear of plague that is causing my problem. No, no, no. You have to now go back and use more Solomon like a compass, so to speak. The life of Solomon like a compass in that regard, where the Bible says, and God asked him that, what do you want? And what did Solomon say? Because his father had taught him. Now, by his mercy and grace, under the covenant of the fathers, I'm teaching you the same thing. That let the primary thing be in your heart, that will be in your heart as you are going to this next half of the year, as you are going to this new month, be cry for wisdom. And let it not depart. Are we together? Are we together? And so, like Solomon, when he asked for wisdom, God said, I'm really impressed. You have not asked for the life of your enemy. That means that you know that your problem will not be the life, your enemies. You know that you have not asked for money, gold and silver. That means that you recognize that it is not money that is going to be the solution to your problem, but you have asked for wisdom. Are we together? Moreover, the Bible says wisdom is a principal thing. With all thy getting, get what? Understanding. It's not just at a particular time. It's not when you want to do exam that you need wisdom. Wisdom has always been, is, and will always be the principal thing. The Bible tells us that Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what? Redemption. The first thing it says is wisdom. It says Christ, the power of God, and the what? Wisdom of God. If you are going to define Christ, it is already defined by the Bible. The power of God, the power of love, and the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of love. Are we together? And so in Isaiah 33:6, it says that wisdom and knowledge, let's read together, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy what? Times. Times. End time. Perilous time. Times. When you're 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, 18, 19. Times. Tomorrow. Time. What is the time? What is the date? Times. All the times in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. Wisdom. And knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the what? Strength of your what? Salvation. Are you saved? Yes, I'm born again. I'm saved. But what's going to strengthen your salvation in these times of temptations, in these times of trials, in these times of shaking, in these times of instability? Today, dollar is this. Tomorrow, pound is this. And you have all this fluctuation in different phases and different areas. And it says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. He's telling you, even if you don't see it or you don't feel it or they are not talking about it, he's telling you that what is going to be the solution and the stability in these times is what? Is what? Wisdom and knowledge. Are we together? It's wisdom and knowledge. Okay, so let's quickly define wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is simple definition is our wisdom with the application of knowledge. But I'm going to give you even another definition by his grace. Wisdom is a person. And it is a spiritual force that comes out of that person. Are we together? Are we together? Wisdom is a person and it is a spiritual force. The reason why I say it's a spiritual force is it's spiritual. It's a force. So it's a spiritual force that comes out of that person. It is not a thing. It's a spiritual force. And so let's quickly see that in Romans, where it tells us that Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. If you can get that for me. I didn't write it down here, but if you could quickly get it out for me. I think it's in Romans. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I'm trying to let us know that Christ's wisdom is a person. The Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says that Christ has been, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who has been made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what? Redemption. But though also in Romans, it tells us that Christ, the power of God. Yeah, okay, 1 Corinthians 1:24. Thank you, in that same verse. It says, but unto them which are called, both what? Jews and what? Greeks. Christ, the what? Power of God and the what? Wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when we are talking about wisdom, first recognize that wisdom is a person. You see, because when you know that wisdom is a person, you know that it requires fellowship with that person. For what is in him to flow into you and for you to now be a solution on the earth. Because you see, he's not coming down. He has already put you here. See, many of us are looking, we are not seeing ourselves as the solution providers. We are hanging down with the problems and the people that are experiencing the problems. Yes, I recognize and I agree with you that there are challenges and there are pressures. But you must not let those pressures define or redefine you. Are we together? You are the salt of the earth, whether you feel it or you don't feel it, whether you taste like it or you don't taste like it. You are the light of the world. Do you understand? And so you must not be programming yourself the way the world is programming their own minds. Because right now, the world has hit the rocks and they've seen that they don't have the solution. Are we together? Either with regards to holiness and purity, either in the intellectual aspect, either physically in health, protection, living long. And so we are saying that wisdom is a person. Very important that we recognize that and that spiritual force emanates from him. It comes from him. So that ask, if you lack wisdom, ask and he will give you wisdom. So the Bible says that by him were all things made. Without him was not anything made that was made. You need to appreciate and value that. The Bible tells us, I'm going ahead of myself, it says that in him I hid what? All the what? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And again, another thing I need to quickly correct, and I know that is a challenge, is a stumbling block for many of us, that you see, hitherto we've been comparing ourselves with the world. You have seen people in the secular aspect that have made it. And you have seen yourself, and many of us are seeing ourselves in the light of those people. Now, I can mention, for example, many of us are seeing ourselves in the light of people like Bill Gates. You know, when am I going to be like this? He's the man reading Bible. He's the man praying, you know. He's the man going to church. He's the man going for fellowship. The Bible says, that's the first thing you need to correct, and the first mistake, first issue, one of the first issues you need to correct. He that compares himself amongst those that compare themselves amongst themselves are not what? Wise. See, wise, wisdom. So we at the beginning, which many of us are already displaying a lack of wisdom and showing a great deal of foolishness. It was a nice way of saying, don't be foolish, or that you are being foolish. Never compare yourself with other people. You can learn from them. The most important thing to compare yourself with is the Lord Jesus. The most important thing to compare yourself with is the Word of God. Are we together? Are we together? See, never compare yourself with other people. You can learn from people, and we'll talk about humility and meekness, but never compare yourself with other people because it is a stumbling block and it is slowing you down. And you see, what you're going to keep doing is if you keep looking at somebody, you're going to try to keep looking at their strategies. Ultimately, you want to see how did they make it. That's what you keep seeking, because you cannot see the person, have interaction with the person. But what your mind and what your spirit will keep longing for is, how did he make it? What did he do? You are seeking the way. Whereas Christ just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are we together? Are we together? So we must begin to deal with those stumbling blocks as I'm talking now. Am I comparing myself with other people? Is it a hindrance for me to even seek the wisdom of God that God has put in me? Has it been a hindrance for me to have a free and healthy fellowship with wisdom himself, with Christ himself, who has been called wisdom and righteousness, or wisdom and power of God? Has it been an issue for me to daily wake up and cry out to God for wisdom because I've been looking up at another person thinking that the way he's doing it is the wisdom? Are we together? And so he's saying wisdom is the principal thing. And so how do we get wisdom? And why first, before we talk about how, why do we need to get this wisdom and seek this wisdom and knowledge? You know, we've seen it. It says that because it is the stability of our times. And give me Haggai chapter 2. Why exactly do we need wisdom at this time? So we've talked about it. We say there's instability, there's shaking. Well, let's see what the scripture says in Haggai chapter 2. About God shaking the heavens and the earth. I need to be fast because some of those things, I didn't write them down. Excellent. Thank you. It says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will do what? I will shake the heavens and the what? Earth and the what? Sea and the what? Dry land. Give it to us in Hebrews. In Hebrews, it talks about the shaking as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. Hebrews 12, 27. Hebrews 12, 27. We're going to be running through the scriptures to answer questions in our hearts and to stir up our own selves to know that, I need to wake up to the reality of what is happening. So all that is happening is not just some political issues. It's not PDP, APC. It's beyond that. See, because wisdom is a spiritual force, the challenges that are coming at the root of these things are spiritual forces. You see that God is doing a shaking, and we'll see why he's doing the shaking. We'll see that the devil too is causing a shaking. Are we together? And that's why you need to hold on to the wisdom of God. I need to stay in tune with God's wisdom. I need to cry out for wisdom daily. It says, and this word, yet once more, signifieth, and why is he doing this? Signifieth the removing of the things that can be shaken. God is doing a shaking. I don't know whether you've done in chemistry, they call something a centrifuge, I believe. Is there any chemist here? All right. You did chemistry, you know? And so you put something in a centrifuge and then they shake it, right? They turn around, if I still remember, all right? I need you to remind me. I know there's a centrifuge. I know there's a reason why they rotate it. Oh, and so why do we do the centrifuging?
For separation.
Excellent, thank you. So you can see God is doing a shaking. So that there can be a separation. And what is he separating? The thing that can be shaken from the thing that cannot be shaken. Are we together? Are we together? You see, the thing that can be shaken are the things of this world. He is doing a shaking for our good and for the good of his church. So that which needs to be dropped off from our midst needs to be dropped off. Are we together? So he says, yet once more signify, and so that it can be revealed that only things of him and only things by him and only him is the one that is standing. See, when there is an earthquake and every other building is falling, and there remaineth one, where will everybody run to? Where will everybody run to? The one that is what? Standing. And that's exactly what God is doing. It says, yet once more, signify the removing of things that can be shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. That's one person that is shaken. I say he's the cause of all the shaking. And the next thing I'm going to cause, I'm going to say that are causing a shaking. Give me Isaiah chapter 14. I want you to see another person that is causing a shaking. Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 16. Isaiah 14, 12 to 16. See, God is causing a shaking for our good so that the world can see that, it is the church that we need to turn to. It's Christianity and becoming more like Jesus, or people that are like Jesus, or people that are crying out to Jesus, or people that are loving Jesus and seeking Jesus, that we need to start running to, because they are the ones that have the solution. It is in them that he has put the solution. And so, you have another person that is also causing a shaking and is trying to cause confusion, and trying to cause distraction, and trying to cause temptation, and trying to cause people to fall. Because his own plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. See, we are talking about why we need to get wisdom. And so you begin to understand why the Lord just said, you need to be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove, as bold as a lion. Are we together? You need to know why wisdom has to be the principal thing. Power is not the principal thing. Compassion is not the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. God is light. Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so you see, how are thou falling from heaven? See, there has been a shaking in the heavens. See, the ultimate shaker, if I can use that word, is God himself. He's shaking what can be shaken off. And so he says, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which this what? Weaken the nations. For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. See, so the person that is weakening the system, that is causing the catastrophe, and that is causing the wars and the disputes, you know, and the disunity and the tribalism, you understand, and the rebellion and the perils, is this guy that has fallen from heaven. Says, you have said in your heart, you see where it started, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou hast been what? Thou shalt be what? Brought down to hell. Note that word. To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the what? Man that made the earth to what? To make what? Was it not tremble? Shake. That did what? Shake kingdoms. So, who is causing the problem? Before you start complaining and blaming God, know the person that is causing the catastrophe and the unnecessary hardship is not God, though. It's the devil. The only thing that God is doing when it comes to shaking is so that you can stand and show him up to the world that has followed the devil hitherto and followed his ways, and then people can turn to you or turn to him. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will do what? Draw men unto me. See, it's not about you and me, it's about him. So that's why you have a responsibility and say, not for me, not my will, but thy will be done. Not me, but you be glorified in my life. Are we together? So that is why he's seeking to give you wisdom. He wants you to show him off. He wants you to show up the devil, and he wants you to show him off. You know what it means to show somebody off? You understand? It means you want to brag about him. He wants men to know him through you. But why? How? Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Okay, so we can see the God is causing a shaking, the devil is causing a shaking. And so for you, as you are entering new times, daily or monthly or yearly, one phase, you're going from 1 year to another in your academic calendar, or you're even graduating out of school, or you're going to, I don't know who is hearing, you're going to another phase, maybe marriage, you know, or you're going to career. What are you building your life on? What are you building your career on, young man? What are you building your academics on, young woman? What are you building every area of your life on? In these shaking times, are you building it on hopes and dreams of being rich and just making it? Or are you building it by wisdom? Are you building it by knowledge? Are you building it with wisdom? Give me Proverbs 9:1. Proverbs 9:1. You know, just to encourage you that wisdom builds. Wisdom is worth it in seeking. Wisdom has everything that you need. Wisdom hath what? I can't hear you guys. Read out. Wisdom has done what? Wisdom has builded her house. Wisdom has builded her house. She has what? Hewn out her what? How many? We'll still talk about those seven pillars. Wisdom has builded her house. Wisdom has hewn out her seven pillars. What are you building your life on? What are you building career? What are you building your portfolio on? Yes, the next 5 years, I want to be here. But are you building it on wisdom? So wisdom can direct those 5 years and even make you accomplish more than what you are dreaming of and planning of. Or you are just building in the skies, building in the clouds, not knowing what can happen tomorrow. But you see, when you build by wisdom and build upon wisdom and knowledge, it is secure. It says that it will be the strength of your times, the strength of your salvation, the stability of your times. Give me Luke 6, 46 and 47, showing us again the importance of wisdom and taking wisdom as a priority in our daily lives. See, we are talking about how to manifest Christ on the streets, how to manifest Christ in the daily stuffs that we go through, is in little issues and little solutions, or requiring and demanding and asking for wisdom for even little issues on a daily basis. Before you start talking about, I want to rule, there's a song they say, I want to, if I rule the world. Many people are already thinking about the ends of the earth. The thing that you're facing on a daily basis, the daily challenges, what are you using to resolve it and to solve it? Are you asking God for wisdom? Or are you running helter-skelter for people to help you? I'm not saying you can't ask for help, of course. There's a place for that. But it's the first thing that you do when you face challenges. Is it to cry out to God for wisdom? Is it to seek wisdom to know what to do? Is it to apply the knowledge of what He has taught you of prayer and the Word and confessing the Word and praying in the Spirit, which we'll talk about later? Because you see, when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible tells us that you are speaking forth the wisdom of God in a mystery. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is the wisdom of God. I'm even holding my phone. Because see, these days, the Bible is in your phone. Okay, Luke 6, 46 to 47. And it says, why call ye me Lord, Lord? God is talking to us. You're calling me Lord. I'm your Lord and your Savior. Okay, thank you. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say. The things that I say are setting forth truths. They are knowledge, revelation knowledge. See, school can never give you wisdom. School will give you knowledge. Knowledge based on senses. Knowledge based on observation and research. School will not give you wisdom. Wisdom is a spiritual force that emanates from the Creator of all things and that helps you to apply the knowledge that you gain either from school or from reading books or even from the Word of God or from something somebody taught you. That's why wisdom is not everywhere that you find it. School cannot give you wisdom. School can give you skill. We are confusing wisdom with skill, ability, giftings. Wisdom is a spiritual force that comes from the person called wisdom himself that made all things. Are we together? Hey, you might say, but we said that when he's brainy, he's wise. No. You see, you have to understand that wisdom can now affect your intellect and can now make you innovative and creative. When you recognize that wisdom we are talking about is a spiritual thing, then you not start looking to the natural or looking to men for wisdom. Are we together? Wisdom, which is a spiritual force, ultimately, yes, is supposed to impinge upon your mind and your brain to make all your neural network alert so you can begin to function like Adam, like Solomon, and even greater, like Daniel, like Joseph. I know we pray all those prayers. But really, when you know that wisdom is a spiritual force, then you begin to take your spiritual activity and spiritual education very seriously. Because you know that the original and heavenly and godly wisdom is spiritual and comes from your inner man. It comes from God through your inner man, which now affects your will, your mind, your emotions, which now affects your physical body, your brain, your intellect, which now makes you sharp and bright, or and brighter, and have light and understanding and innovation and creativity. So you don't start looking into books for wisdom. You don't start looking into philosophies for wisdom, philosophies of men. You don't start looking into the lives of carnal men or secular men or men that don't even know God for wisdom. You might say again, how come they are doing well? Careful. Careful. He that compares himself, they that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. God in his mercy, and you have to know the scriptures, God in his mercy drops those things to the hearts of men. The Bible says he goes about. God is good, oh, God is love, he's merciful. He goes about and his tender mercies are upon all the works of his hands. He goes around the world looking for men that he can show himself strong on behalf. Men whose hearts are honest. He sees some honesty. He sees some love for the poor in their hearts. He sees some compassion. He sees some diligence. And he hasn't seen it maybe in his house yet. Or he sees that his children are still growing. So he goes around because he made all men, you see. And so he goes around and he sees that this person's heart. He has some, you begin to see the characteristics of godly wisdom because I made him, you see. So I can still see some good and some light in him. So he just drops wisdom in his heart. And the man begins to perform. You say, but the man is not a Christian. How did it happen? God shows himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are right and perfect towards him, are honest. The Corneliuses. He still goes around. But you have to be very careful not to compare yourself and say, I want to be a Cornelius. Or I want to be a prodigal son because they did party for him. Careful. Careful. You are a son and a daughter in the house. And everything is yours, as our prophet was telling us last week. Everything is yours. The Bible says that all things are yours. But you see, many times, again, like I said, our focus many times has not been on wisdom, who is living in us, who is living with us in our house. I say your bodies are the temple, the house of the Holy Spirit, the house of God. Your hearts are the throne of the Most High God. Yet you look into the world. Because you just see a spark of light somewhere, whereas you yourself, you are the light of the world. And you are making that mistake of comparing ourselves with the world. Careful. Like the brother of the prodigal son, he said, look, I've been in the house with you. You never had party for me. You didn't kill a cow for me. You didn't da 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 da. He said, I see this, your brother was lost. But he doesn't have the inheritance. Christ, in you, the hope of glory. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why hasn't it manifest? God wants you to develop and grow so that you not be like the world. See, all these men that I have talked about, many of them have issues and infirmities, and those, because they are not in Christ, many of those infirmities rise against them and almost swallow them up. God in his mercy just preserves them. Are we together? They themselves in their hearts, the whole creation is groaning and seeking salvation. Luke 6, yes. Give me verse 47. It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth these things and doeth them, I will show unto him who he's like. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. Verse 48. Where it talks about the man that built upon the rock. He is like a man which built an house, or his family, or his home, or his career. And primarily your house. See, your house is where all those other things will spring out from. I like the way Pastor taught it, was it today? He said, as you are fulfilling your destiny, you know, the issue of marriage and all those other things will unveil. As you are becoming more like Jesus and seeking Christ, and you're seeking to become more like him in fellowship and relationship with him every day. See, all those other things will become more like him. See, I wanted to say this. Peradventure again, your mind is still comparing itself with the guy in the secular world, and you're feeling, how did the guy get it? And me, that I'm a Christian, I've not yet gotten it. Say, see, God loves us so much, and he likes to, I don't say play this game of hide and seek with you, but you are busy again. You and I are busy again looking into the world rather than looking into his heart, what he wants. He says that it is the honor, it is the glory of God to do what? Conceal a matter, to hide a matter. It is the honor of kings to search it out. See, God is building kings. It's not just men. You see, you have to understand that all these ones that you are seeing in the world, God has greater things for us that are boys and girls, men and women in Christ, in the church. The Bible says that he wants to show to principalities and powers, not just to men, no. He wants to show to principalities and powers the what? Manifold wisdom of God in this end time. So you have to be careful comparing yourself or seeking to be like one man. Look at what the Bible says, like what Prophet Sitchin said last week. The Bible is encoded with your own very life, your DNA. Everything about you is in the scriptures. And you just need to keep looking into the word, praying in the spirit, looking into the word. It might be still a general obedience for now. But you see, when you are faithful, even the general one that is coming to all of us at once, the specifics will begin to come to you individually in your own room and apartment. Are we together? So quit trying to get that specifics for now. Get the general principle first. Are we together? Get the general that God is giving everybody. See, it's the honor, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to begin to search it out. God wants you to search it out by prayer. God wants you to search it out by the scriptures. So when you find it, it will, like Jesus told Mary, it will never be taken away from you. See, all these other things that people are running up and down, they might get one, two things, God in his mercies. Because God created all men and created all things. You see, and because of their diligence, God will just be merciful to them. But you are not just a man. You are a God. It says that ye are what? Gods. And all of you are what? Children of the Most High. Your own path is going to be different. Come, my sister. Come. While I was praying, this picture came to me. You see this road now? This floor, you can see patterns, true or false? We can see patterns, can't we? Okay, so Kenny, I got it right. That's God. The Holy Spirit knows them. They can try and confuse them, but the Holy Spirit knows them. Not like the fraternal twins that are here. Oh yeah, so Kenny is on her path. I am on my path. So Kenny, start walking. So as Kenny is walking, and I'm seeing her walking, and we are going to the same place, and I feel that maybe it's the road that Kenny is walking. Kenny, you are straight, you know. You walk straight. Maybe it's the road that Kenny is walking that is fast. Then I begin to walk like this. When God has created my own path for me, the best thing that you can ask Kenny is, Kenny, how are you doing it? Because you are going to the same path and walking on the same road. Are we together? Howbeit, God has set your different paths for you on the same highway. Are we together? So you have to be careful not to be comparing yourself with other people and saying that you want to be like other people. Yes, except people that are following Christ. See, their main aim is where we are ultimately supposed to go, Christ. But again, the specifics might be different. But the general principle is what we need to learn. Are we together? So Ken, let's walk back again. And so she's walking, and I'm walking on my path. You can see that the lines have been demarcated. And we are all going to the same place. But if I keep looking at her step, keep looking, I can stumble. Thank you. She was even pointing to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? So we need to know that wisdom is a principal thing. I know there's a reason why I went back there. Okay, so he says he is like a man which built an house. Wisdom has built an house. And dig deep. And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, you see the shaking. The stream beat vehemently upon that house. And could not what? Shake it. You can see we've seen the word shake again. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. In one other place, it actually calls him a wise man. I will liken him to a wise man. Wisdom. That built his house. Wisdom has built a house upon a rock. And the flood arose. So and so happened. But it was not shaken. He said, this wise man is the one that hears me. He receives knowledge and then he practices it. He applies it because wisdom is the application of what? Knowledge. See why people still have challenges and have these winds come against them each week. You know, and this shaking and this floods rise up against them. Those things are going to come. Observe that he's a wise man, but those things still came. But you see, he had built it upon the rock. He had dug deep. He had applied the knowledge that he had been taught. Because that is the person that God or Jesus likened the wise man to. So you also, you come to fellowship, you come to church, you come to gatherings like this, you listen to anointed messages, you receive knowledge. Because wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. But do you apply the knowledge that you receive? He says the other man, the foolish man, is the man that heard. You see, both of them heard. Both of them came to church. Both of them came to fellowship. Both of them listened to anointed messages. But did he practice or even attempt to practice? See, as you're practicing, you'll have mistakes. You'll fall, you'll rise again. You'll fall. A righteous man falls seven times. You'll rise again to break you so that you continue to trust in God and not trust in your own power or the knowledge that you received. And so the foolish man heard the word, but he did not practice it. He said, I will liken him to a man that built upon sand. And again, the same thing came during the day, during the week, during the month. Winds, streams, floods, shaking. And he says that great was his fall. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And you see, begin to see that the wisdom is application of knowledge that you receive. Revelation knowledge. Now there says wisdom and knowledge. We need knowledge. We need anointed word. Truths that will set us free. Then we need to begin to apply them. Because you see, the way you bring out the wisdom and bring out the solution is by practice. The way you will know it yourself. Not just what Pastor Lalu said or Prof said. Or Pastor Ruby said or Momisera said. It's not going to be like that. That can work for a while. But later you must have been applying it to yourself. So you yourself can say, this is what works. So this is how it works. You can be able to explain to another person, I tried it, yes. I had issues here, but I rose up again. You know, I continued. You're able to be comfort to other guys. You're able to be a sucker to your classmates, your roommates. You're able to be a sucker to your family members. God has preserved and shielded people from experiencing certain things because you are there. You are a breaker company. You are a pioneer. So when you learn it, you're able to teach others. Are we together? See, there's a lot of responsibility on you and me. But it's because God loves you and God trusts you. The world is in trouble. The world is shaken. The devil is shaken. Satan is shaking things. Because, see, when a person is angry, like angry birds, he's angry. He's just cursing katakata, you know, because he knows that his day is short. He has been dethroned. The Bible calls them dethroned principalities and powers. Dethroned princes. They've been dethroned. And so the best thing they know how to do is to cause katakata. It's to cause problem. See, because the very thing that they are, that has the satanic nature and the nature that is corrupt, they themselves don't have a control over it. The Bible says it's tending to negative. It's tending, you know, entropy. It's tending to the negative. So he that is holy, let him continue to be holy. He that is unholy, let him continue to be unholy. Why? Because the good nature continues to be good. The path of the righteous man shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The path of the dark man, it becomes darker and darker. Are we together? And so we're seeing. Now, there's something I want you to see again. Matthew 16, 18. Then we'll now talk about the how of wisdom. How do we get wisdom? Matthew 16, 18. This particular scripture that we just read in Luke links to this. And it links to that Isaiah that I read about Satan seeking to, because people are afraid, some people are afraid of the devil. You see, when you see a madman, people will run. You understand? Well, when Jesus saw the madman bowed. You understand? Now, see this, it says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter. He was asking Peter, who do people say I am? And who do you say I am? And Peter had revelation. He says, thou art the Christ. Thou art wisdom. Thou art the power of God and the wisdom of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he now said in a reply to Peter, says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but the rock of revelation that Peter gave, this rock, this Christ, this wisdom that God has given you, this understanding and revelation of me that God has given you, upon this rock I will build my what? Church. And the what? And the what? Who did we say again is causing shaking? Satan. says that you have been brought to hell. The gates of hell will not what? Prevail against it. So you can see the importance of having wisdom and knowledge at the stipulation of our times. Wisdom and revelation knowledge. Not just knowledge that comes by your senses, because wisdom is given by God. God gave Daniel wisdom. God, as for these four children, God gave. Do you understand? Solomon, God gave. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Joseph, God gave. God gives wisdom. Bezalel, God gave. Bezalel was already a craftsman. Aholia were already craftsmen. They've gone to school, so to speak, of craftsmanship. They have learned. But, and all other wise men, the Bible says, but God gave Bezalel wisdom. I thought he already had wisdom. He had knowledge. He had skill. Gifting. He had gotten from school. When you go to school, learn, read, apply yourself. Do math. Do economics. Do engineering. Do computing. Program. But there is an extra that God can give and embellish that thing, your brain and your mind. And it comes from here. And God can give you light and understanding and a way of doing it. And you'll come out heads and not tail, above only and not beneath. A light that the nations will be drawn to. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the difference between you and the world is that you have God. God in his mercies can give them crumbs. God in his mercies can show himself strong on the behalf of people that are honest and humble and diligent because they are following principles that he has set on the earth and because he made them. But recognize that you are of the house. You have an inheritance. Are we together? And so look at this. Colossians 1:27. We begin to prepare to round off. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the power of God, the wisdom of God in you, the hope of glory. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. See what God is enjoying and God delights his children to be interested in is the mysteries, not the monies, the mysteries. See, because in heaven, their street is made of what? Gold. The thing that everybody that is of the highest price on the earth. There's gold, there's silver, there's platinum. They have dollars, pounds, you know, naira, yen, euro. You know, now come to naira. But the highest is gold. And yet in heaven, so look, you see, it takes a bit of reprogramming and thinking heavenly minded and trying to catch what God is saying. See, God is saying this. We seem to be saying this. God is saying this, saying go in this direction. We are saying, no, God, it's not as if you don't understand. It's not as if you're in heaven and you don't understand what's happening on the earth. And you're trying to teach he that created the earth and founded it by wisdom and established by his understanding, goes back to wisdom, find out that the earth that you are living on and you and I are transacting on and running to and fro on was made by his very wisdom that he's telling you to ask for daily, and his understanding that he's telling you to seek, and his knowledge by which the heavens are opened and there's precipitation. And you are saying, no, God, it's not as if you're in King James, man. I'm in 21st century. It's not as if you're in heaven. I'm in Nigeria. You don't say this, but you say it by your attitude and by your actions and by your disbelief and your disobedience. I listen to me, and he's saying, guy, look, there's a lot that I want you to have. This one thing, the mysteries of Christ, Christ himself, relationship with him, understanding him, knowing that in him, when we now go to, now take me to Colossians chapter 2. So he now continues the discourse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Colossians 2 and 3, he now says, that their hearts may be comforted in the midst of the shaking, that the hearts of the young boys and girls in Nigeria and the entire world, especially my church, may be comforted, being knit together in love and unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants you to come to the realization of what it means to have Christ in you and who Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And of the Father and of Christ, in whom are what? You see, again, he hid it. It's hide and seek. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of what? Kings. See, by the time you are done seeking and finding what is hidden in him, you will be a king. See, people are looking for political posts. But you, your own is different. You are not in political posts, political matters. You understand? But by the time you step out, even if it's a political post, you're already a king in those phases. It is not those things that make you a king. Money doesn't make you a king. The Bible says that money flies. You understand? Only strong men retain riches. So, what makes you a king in the eyes of God? The true kings are the people that find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hid in Christ. And where is Christ? Where is Christ? I can't hear. Christ is where? In me, in you. The what? Hope of glory. The glory that the world is seeking. Oh, guys, let me tell you. News before it happens. And I've told you, I've said it here before. I said the main thing, and the thing that is going to be the in thing in this 21st century, in the next few years, is one word, Christ. To you, you see, because I'm not giving you details of AI and genetics and cryptography and economics, they are hid. It's not, it is your own to go and look for. Do you understand? In him. If you are looking at just Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Apple and Google for a solution, yeah, I would say that God through them can, in his mercies, use those mammoth companies. But really, in him, in you, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, because Christ is in you. Your work is to now begin to search it out. See, the joy of a father and a son, maybe I need to do this more, is hide and seek. Yes, or we used to do this when we were much younger in parties. Treasures, treasure hunts, I believe. God wants to do treasure hunts with you and upon the earth. Do you understand? The earth is a playground. It's that manifestation ground. It's like Moses seeing the guys that threw rod to serpents. And says, ah, God, see now, their rod turned to serpents. That's so babyish. His own rod turned to serpents. And what did he do? Swallowed them up. Your own rod will turn to serpents and swallow up the wisdom of the world. When God was going to make David a great man, God said something. Listen, oh, God said that I have made you like the great men of the earth. So God recognizes that in the earth, there are great men. Let it be God that will compare you with others. Not you that will be comparing yourself with others. Compare yourself with the word. Compare yourself with the standard of the word. Compare yourself with what God has written about you, that you are a king and a priest. Are you functioning as one? Is the next question. Am I seeking? Am I doing the hide and seek of what is in the scriptures? Am I doing the praying? Am I doing that wise man activity of hearing and practicing? Hearing and practice. Even when I make a mistake, I stand up again. Okay, this is where I made the error. Oh, this is where I made the failure. You correct. So by the time you meet somebody else, you know exactly what to tell them. And when they make the same mistake, you can give them the encouragement and comfort. That is a wise man. Are we together? How do we walk in this wisdom? So you can see, in whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom. Are you looking for wisdom? Are you looking for knowledge? It is in Christ. Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the word of God. And we'll say, how can we get that Christ out to solve street problems, to solve native problems, to solve pretty challenges, local challenges, individual challenges, apartment challenges, course challenges, career challenges, spiritual challenges, name it. In him I hid all, not just spiritual, not just academics. All treasures of wisdom, but it takes recognizing that Christ, the wisdom that we're talking about is Christ, is a person. It requires fellowship and intimacy. It requires this hide and seek kind of love, you know. It requires repentance when you fall. It requires coming to hear his word and get knowledge. It requires, number one, humility. Say humility. Meekness. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says that with the lowly is what? Wisdom. And so, wisdom spoke in New Testament. It says, learn of me. Wisdom is talking. He says, learn of me. The first thing that he talked about, learn there, is an act of meekness and humility that you and I must do. We must learn of him. Not just learn of him because he's powerful and mighty or because he wore sandals. Learn of me, for I am what? Meek and what? Lowly in heart. So the first thing he talked about is learn, which is an attitude of meekness and submission and learning. And then he now said, what you are learning of me majorly is not the power and the miracles I'm doing. It's not the healing I'm doing around. Thank God for those. Those are the works of wisdom that you see later. But the number one thing you need to learn of me is what? Meekness. Humility. He was God and still God. And he came down as a baby, as an embryo. You know, I was born like a baby. You know, he cried, yeah, yeah, yeah. Drank milk. He grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and men. He was tempted, made like unto you and me. Tempted in every area. Woke up a great while before day. Walked the dirty streets of Nazareth. And you can talk about the other things that he faced. Castigations. But he always went to the Bible, he always went to the temple. The Bible says that as it was his custom, learn of me, for I am what? Meek and what? Lowly in heart. That's the number one thing he says you should learn of him. Computers are learning now. You understand? And they are learning pretty fast. And what helps them when they learn is that they make mistakes, and then when you play with them, they see what you've done and what is right and what is working and functions. Learn of me. Are we together? Number two, apart from learning, apart from meekness, is, say, the works of wisdom. The works of wisdom. Now, give me James chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, yeah. We need to begin to round off because of time. James 3, 13. I'll quickly show you those works of wisdom. Who is a what? And endued with what? What did the Bible say is going to be the stability of our times? Wisdom and what? Knowledge. He says, who is a wise one and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of what? Good conversation. Give it to me in New King James or NIV. He says, good conduct, good works, good conversation. His works with what? Good conduct, that his works are done in the what? The meekness of wisdom. So you are saying why we are emphasizing meekness and why we are emphasizing works. And what are those works? The two major works that you need to know is study of the word and praying in the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Give me 1 Corinthians 2, 7. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. Hurry up. But we speak the what? I can't hear you. We speak the what? Wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. The what? Hidden wisdom. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In him I hid what? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So to get those wisdom out, to get that wisdom out, and not just hear this sweet tale, sweet truths, not tales, sweet truths, and just think that this is where it stops. You need to practice it. You need to begin to speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. When you pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14 says that when we pray in the spirit, we are speaking mysteries. You don't speak to me, you are speaking to God. And then the Bible tells us that the word of God is the wisdom of God. This says that the Bible says that you have not known the power of God or the wisdom of God. Talking about the Bible. Jesus was telling the Pharisees, you have not known the power of God or the wisdom of God. So praying in tongues on a daily basis, praying in the spirit concerning this situation, you might not know what to pray about. You say, God, concerning this situation, this family issue, this is my challenges, this is my academics, this issue of finance, this health, Lord, just give me ability to pray in tongues right now over it and concerning it. Just pray. Pray in the spirit. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Join brethren that are praying in the spirit. If you can't do it alone, you are speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. When you open the word, or when you come under anointed men, because that's the last thing I wanted to say, you need to listen to anointed messages of apostles and prophets. Not just anywhere. You need to check. The Bible says that you will know a good man by the good treasure of his heart. Treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. By an evil man, you know the treasures of his heart. You need to check what you are listening to, where you are going. Are they speaking treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. Wisdom. The apostolic. You listen to men that have the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that you too you can take. the rock that you can take and lie your head on and have your own dream. You need to submit to another man. Let's bow our head as we pray. You have heard it. The wisdom is in you. The wisdom is hidden in the word. The wisdom is gotten by speaking mysteries, speaking and praying in tongues concerning it, concerning that situation, concerning that matter. The wisdom is gotten by studying the word and listening to anointed messages, prophetic and apostolic. It won't just come by laying on of hands, because Joshua got by laying on of hands. No, Joshua had an attitude of meekness and lowliness of heart. That's how, and he was practicing the word. He was hearing the word. He was doing the word. That's why he and Caleb were different. They followed holy. You pray in the spirit. Be an anointed man of God and a woman of God. Read the word. Listen to the word. Practice it to the best of your ability. Use the blood. It will give you access to life. The Bible says we have the light of life. And in that life, you now get light and wisdom and revelation. So even when you have your feelings, the blood is there to speak for you. The word of God is there to give you life. The Bible says, the word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the Bible now tells us that life is light. That life is light, given by the spirit of light, the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is a spiritual force. Wisdom is a spirit. And it says, you will come upon him the spirit of the fear of God, of knowledge, understanding, wisdom and revelation, the spirit of might and of love, upon the head of the church and upon us, his body. Let's just stand up on our feet as we pray together, thanking God for this truth and this word that I've heard. Wisdom is made available to me. It is the stability of my times. God, I will cry out for wisdom daily. God, I will use your blood. I will repent every time, every day, as I come before you. I will receive knowledge and understanding from your word, from anointed men, apostolic and prophetic, that are wise master builders. I will pray in the spirit to receive wisdom and knowledge so I can be a solution and not just be another problem on the earth. Me, I'm supposed to be a solution. I'm supposed to be a gate of heaven, a window of heaven. I'll not be a gate of hell. Rather, I'll be a window of heaven. What you have made me, a solution provider, because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I'll begin to interact with him. I'll begin to fellowship with Christ in me. I'll begin to do the things that I'll learn of him. I'll be meek. I will submit to God, submit to the word. Meekness is not weakness or foolishness or stupidity. Meekness is submitting to the word of God. Rise and pray. And I rise and I pray. That is meekness. Love righteousness and hate sin. And I love righteousness and I hate sin. That is meekness. Pray in the spirit daily or concern every matter and issue. And I do it. That is meekness. Meekness is not something flying in the air. Or me walking like this. Or me sounding, no, that's not meekness. My voice can be loud and bold. And I can still be meek at heart because I'm practicing the word of God. And then I will resist the devil and he will flee from me in every area of my life and concern every issue and matter. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins and I repent when I have not sought, when I have not loved, when I have not desired, when I have not made wisdom, humility, revelation knowledge, the principal thing of my life. I look to you for mercy, grace, and help to hear the word, to practice the word, to walk in meekness and lowliness of heart, in submitting to your word, in repentance by the blood, in listening to your word, in practicing the word, in praying in the spirit, so I can have wisdom, revelation concerning every matter, in every issue, and experience stability, strength of salvation for myself, my loved ones, and all those that you have put under my sphere of influence, or you bring me in contact with. Help me to take my place. Help me to fulfill my calling of becoming more like wisdom. Christ, in me, the hope of glory. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Wisdom, strength, knowledge. Thank you for our in and upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our intellects, our physical body, circumstances, regional heavens. In the name of Jesus. Wicked spirits in the heavens, we destroy your works, we resist, we bind you, we loose the angels to minister for us God's perfect will, concern the word we've heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.